You're listening to the Chancellor Pink Podcast on Chancellor Pink Radio.
I haven't done a podcast about my ketogenic diet progress in a while, so I thought I'd do a little one on that. I started the diet on June 25th. So it's actually been... Today will mark, I'm just going to count them off here with you. Ready to count? Let's go. Get your pointers out. Pointer sticks on the chalkboard, boys and girls. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Today, November 4th, marks the completion of my 19th week on the ketogenic diet. And I tell you what, I have lost 52 pounds. That's right, 52 pounds. And I am below the 300 mark for the first time in 5 years. That's how fat I got. Most guys around my height, I'm 6'1", say, "Boy, I got really fat there. I was almost 300 pounds. I got up there close to 300 when they really, really blimp up. No. I blimped up well over 300. That's the way I used to be most of my life. A couple times before I got up to 300, it was like, holy shit, stop this crap. And boom, dropped lots of weight and got back down into my normal range. And being fat for me most of my life was, you know, if I weighed anything above 250, or even if I reached 250, I felt real fat. But if I got up to 260, 270, 280, that was like really bad, you know. And then a couple times I just kept going and got up to 300, 305, and it was horrible. Well, five years ago, one of my sons came and lived with me, and I had to cook for him. And I had been doing my diet then, off and on, which was a version of a Weight Watchers, a little bit more low carb than Weight Watchers. It was like a Weight Watchers plus low carb. So it was definitely a calories restricted diet that I would do. It was, three fruits a day. I would have an orange and a half a grapefruit and an apple basically every day. Low fat, didn't use, you know, cooked everything on my George Foreman grill, didn't add any butter or anything to anything. So very, very minimal fat, high in vegetables, but low carb vegetables. Would only have corn or peas on rare occasions. And same with potatoes, would try to keep them rare. I would have a half a cup of rice. I would have white refined, you know, rice, maybe a couple times a week. But really was not heavy in the carbs at all. Mostly was eating fish and vegetables. Mostly was a diet of like tuna and salmon and shrimp and salad, and so on. Chicken breast, low fat chicken. And anytime I'd go on that, I'd always lose some weight, but I was hungry. I was hungry all the time. But I was doing that off and on to stay in the ballpark. You know, if I'd blimp up a little, I'd do that for a while and get back down. So I was still staying overweight because I could never stay on that diet for a real extended period. Once I did and lost 62 pounds doing that back about 8 years ago. But for the most part, I was on and off, on and off. I couldn't stick to it because I was hungry, you know what I mean? And you can, when you do a diet like that, which is really calorie deprived and eating healthy foods, you can start to crave like vegetables. It can seem yummy to have a light piece of fish and, you know, some, you know, green beans and just with not a lot of flavor. And because you actually begin to taste the flavor of the food and the, you know, the simplicity of it all and so on. But that kind of thinking just doesn't last. At least it doesn't for me. At the end of the day, I crave carbs or I crave fat. I crave one or the other. Fat, I want flavor. Fat is flavor. Butter, cheese, you know, it's flavor. And even things that don't have a lot of flavor, sour cream or heavy cream, they have texture that I just crave, you know. Or I crave carbs. You know, I crave pasta, or I crave more rice, or I craved bread with the butter, you know, or I crave more potatoes or something, French fries, you know, pizza crust, pizza, you know. So it's hard to stay satisfied on that. Fish and vegetables. It's so wholesome and so flavorful in a mild, barely detectable way. But I can get locked into that enough to have it be effective. And I always got healthy and felt better in the brain, felt clear-minded and so on. But I couldn't stick to it. So I was always hovering in obesity land. I was always up, you know, down to 250, up to 280, down to 260, up to 290, you know, down, just sort of bouncing around in an area all of which was obese, you know. And then my son came to live with me. And for the first time in a number of years, I really couldn't mix in my diet at all. I couldn't make him a dinner that was normal and have my tuna and vegetables. And I didn't want to try to pretend that he was going to enjoy, oh, yummy, let's have salmon and broccoli. You know, I just didn't think he was, what was he? He was 17 at the time, 16, and then he turned 17 while living with me. It's not what I wanted to be feeding him. Even though it might have been healthy for him, I just wanted him to have a normal boy's, you know, eating habits. And so I realized, you know, I can't make two dinners. It'll be too expensive and too much trouble. I'll just start to, we'll go out more and I'll start making, I just made the most unhealthy stuff you can imagine. I mean, I made a hamburger helper dinners and, you know, I made Indian food, you know, with sauces, prepared sauces. I bought things off of shelves that were boxed and labeled, you know, processed food product things with ingredients that have all kinds of long chemical names and all that shit, just to make quick, simple, hearty dinners that have carbs and fatty meats and flavors and so on. Sugar, you know, a lot of sugars and a lot of the sauces and things. And we'd go out to eat and we'd have Primanti Brothers, which is, you know, the Italian bread and the French fries on the sandwich with the coleslaw, you know. So, of course, I blimped up because not only was I not able to work in my diet, but I was eating bad shit, you know. But I was having a good time. See, that's the other thing. I really loved having my son with me. I moved here from the Philadelphia area. I was getting him set up for his senior year of high school, getting him through the summer, some summer course he had to take, and getting his scheduling. And, you know, I was having a real nice time with him. So I was happy. I was happy as I was blimping up over 300 pounds. Then he decided he wanted to move back, and his mother allowed him to move back in with his brothers and sisters 5 hours away because he missed them. Even though he did enjoy being with me, he missed his family, so he left me. And I thought the only positive out of that was a heartbreaker for me, but the only positive I thought was, well, I can stop this bad eating now. Now that I'm blimped up over 300 pounds with him here, I can do what I always do the other two times I hit up that high, get on my diet, be real strict, and get back there. But there was a problem. I was depressed. I was depressed. I lost my son. I was taking care of my son, and I enjoyed it, and I felt like a real father again because my sons had moved away about 5 years before that, and I would see them only a couple times a year, you know. So to have one of them with me day in and day out really felt gratifying, and it gave me a new purpose in my life. So again, this was why I didn't mind blimping up, because I felt like I was really helping someone live and helping them straighten their life out and so on, and being a father, you know. So when he left, it was devastating, and I didn't have the motivation or the drive or the self-discipline at that time to go on a diet. So what I did is I continued to mourn my loss by stuffing my face with these bad foods, including wine. I fortified myself with a good deal of red wine, which I still miss on this keto diet. I'll tell you that. That's the one thing I do miss. I love miss some red wine, and I don't drink it anymore. So, but So I not only stayed over 300, but I kept climbing and climbing and climbing to the point where I have a scale here that maxes out at 330. It won't weigh you. If it's above 330, it just gives you three little dotted lines. Basically, it says you're too fat for us to tell you how fat you are. That's what the scale says. So eventually, I don't remember how soon after he left, probably within a year, I was seeing the three dotted lines. And a couple times, that was in 2013 when he left. A couple times since then, I had managed to diet a little bit to get it down to where I saw 330 again. In fact, once in 2015, I got all the way down to 309. I was pretty good on a diet for about 55 days and took it from about 330, which is what I was then, down to 309. But then I broke it again. Why? Because it was the same old diet. It was the fish and vegetable diet, the low fat, low carb diet, where I was hungry all the fucking time, you know? So, of course, when I got down to 309, I went back up to 330 to the point where I believe this year I was really enjoying myself. I had a really I enjoyed myself for the holidays last year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I overindulged, and I just kept it up this year. And I believe that somewhere around my birthday, March, April, May, right around there this year, I was well over, and I was feeling it. I was really feeling it, well over even the three dots, 330 mark. And I could tell I was easily 340, maybe 345, and it just kept going. And I couldn't turn it around. And for the first time in my life, I felt terrified because I felt like I couldn't stop myself. I felt like an addict. For the first time in my life, when it comes to anything, I've always known I'm not an addictive personality. I get into bad habits, I reverse them, I change them. I've always been able to be disciplined and control myself when I was like, okay, this has to stop now, and I stop it. I couldn't stop it this time. This was the first time in my life I was like, I'm unhealthy, I'm getting blurred vision, I can't sit in regular chairs, I'm getting too thick to fit my thighs and butt in chairs that have arms on them. I can't sit up straight in a chair because my belly has become a beach ball. And if I try to sit up, it sticks there. So I have to recline back to give it room to have this beach ball in the middle of me. I was sweating like crazy just from walking at all or moving. I was getting extreme foot pain and ankle pain from moving. I was getting Charlie horses in my lower limbs all the time. I was ripping muscles just from trying to walk and live at all. It was becoming a horror show. I was, you know, just turned 52 and felt like pretty much I was getting ready to die. And I didn't really care. I thought it was over. I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep on living this way until I have a heart attack or a stroke or just get cancer. Something's going to happen to me terrible. I'm not going to be alive much longer. And I was just sort of settling into that reality because I couldn't seem to do anything about it. It's not that I wanted it. It's that I just thought this is my lot in life. This is what I've been given. I can't change it. And then I was thinking more about this diet that I always did, this low-carb version of the Weight Watchers diet. And I did a little research online. And I happened upon an article on this site called Healthline by this dude called Chris Gunners. And I liked the way he talked. And he talked about something called the ketogenic diet. And he talked about, you know, it's not super more effective than any other diet, but since it's a diet that literally targets fat burning and makes your body prioritize fat as its number one fuel source to burn, it can be, for some people, more effective in the weight loss area than regular diet. And frankly, I just thought, look, I am just loaded with fat. My problem, I knew it. It was not anything else other than I was overeating, too many carbs, too much fat. I needed to target the fat. I needed anything that was an extreme target on the fat, a direct bullseye hit on fat. And I, as I read more about the diet, I saw that, oh, by the way, it's also great for your blood pressure. It's good for your cholesterol level, which blew my mind because I thought, wait a minute, you're eating all this fat on the keto diet. How could that be good for your cholesterol? But I was reading more about the foods that are okay on the keto diet. And I was reading more about the science that had been put out by the World Health Organization and other, the Diabetes Association of America, the Heart Association, versus good science, actual studies done the right way, which countered all of that. And I started to actually realize it's not a conspiracy theory to say that the people that are telling us what's good for us are wrong here. They are just wrong. And more real science is being built up to prove it. And that the studies that they used were all flawed severely. And the truth is, and I had to read this and believe it, because I'm not going to start stuffing myself with fat if I'm going to, when I'm already 350 pounds, I'm not going to start doing that if I, you know, unless I have a death wish, right? If I, unless I believe that the science of it is true. So I read more, I watched more videos, and on, and I decided for myself that the people and the studies and the information that were saying that eating eggs is good, that eating grass-fed butter is good, that eating red meat is good if it's grass-fed beef, that eating bacon is good, that processed meats aren't bad for you, that the nitrates in bacon, there is no study that proves that, that, you know, so even if you want to get uncured bacon, fine, but you don't need to, in my opinion, from what I've studied enough on. I believe that that is a myth. And you know what I really, and eating cheese is good if, and you can, heavy cream is good, and sour cream, dairy is all good. And that chicken is bad, and that unless you get it organic, it's actually bad for you. And that organic vegetables are better. GMO is a real thing because of the toxins, because of the pesticides, and because of, in terms of the cows, the hormones and the antibiotics. All of these effects that they have on your body, it's allowed because we can't show that it kills us, but it's not good. The effects aren't good. And more importantly, the nutrients and the elements that you want, phytonutrients. Yeah, okay. The nutrients and phytonutrients are more in intense quantity in beef and in wild-caught fish and grass-fed beef and, you know, organic chicken. In other words, when you allow these animals to eat in their natural habitats before you kill them, and no, they don't have the same marbling, so they're not as tasty, and no, you can't fatten them quickly as you can when you're stuffing them full of grain and pumping them full of antibiotics. But when you're just letting the animals eat naturally, guess what? When you then eat them, you're eating a more natural product and it has better nutrients in it for you. And all of that, I'm reading this, I'm learning this, and it all made perfect sense. And of course it makes sense that these providers of these products want to farm the fish, keep them in an enclosed area, make a lot of it because they're doing a ton of product and they want to make something that's green and starts with an M. You might have heard of it. It's called money. So I started to realize, yeah, our food industry is an industry and they want to make money. And they got subsidized by our government trying to help the farmers, but the farmers do a lot of work with grain and carbs. So of course, the motivation then with the money involved in that is to promote healthy grains, carbs, you know, and meat and fish and all that is, and not talk about the fact that what they're putting in it to help it get fatter quicker so that when they slaughter it and there's more of it and it's bigger and the vegetables all GMO and put together in a laboratory and they're bigger and giant and everything is about moving at a quicker pace and making it bigger and it goes bad less quickly and because it's preserved more with junk in it. And, you know, we don't know what it's doing other than we know that the process to do it involves pesticides, antibiotics. In the fish, when they farm it, they eat their own feces, you know, because they're all swimming close together. So there's all kinds of you know, feces in the fish that's then digested, then becomes part of the fish and you're eating it, you know? And so the whole process of the mass production of food for more and more money is part of the game in our country as to why obesity is going up, diabetes is going up, heart disease is going up. And when you think about it, how long have we been told eat a healthy carb, low fat diet? Right around the same time. While all this is going on, we're also being told, eat a lot of carbs, healthy carbs, you know, whole grains and, you know, wheat bread and wheat pasta and, you know, eat potatoes and eat all these starchy vegetables because they're good for you. They have all these nutrients. And just avoid the fat because it clogs your arteries, it clogs your arteries. And how long has that been going on? About 50 years, about 60 years. That's all. They just started that myth based on bullshit research that was done about 50, 60 years ago. And guess what's happened since the American Heart Association, Diabetes Association, all these governmental agencies and the powers that be, including the majority of the medical profession, who don't read, by the way. They learn and they get their degrees and then they go on and they basically pump us full of medications. Doctor's number one job is to, you know, plug a medication into a problem. And really, when you think about wellness and sickness, it does make sense. There are illnesses that need cured by medications, that need cured by surgeries. But a lot of what makes people sick is what they're taking into their bodies, is their nutrition. So when you think about it, wouldn't it be better to study more and understand more about nutrition and the science of the body and how it digests food and the health of the body as it relates to intake? Because that's why we eat, for our health and to be functional. And so when we are dysfunctional, and when we are bloating up and getting diabetes and heart disease at an abnormally high rate, doesn't it make logical sense to think that something is wrong with our nutrition? And right at the same time that those rates are skyrocketing, this is when we're pushing the low-fat, high-carb diet that most people eat. This is when everybody's reaching off the shelves and buy more and more packaged foods in boxes with all these chemicals and other ingredients in it. This is when the GMO vegetables are all the size of pumpkins and this is when all the beef is piled up everywhere and then no one buys it and they throw it away, and that's okay because they're pumping these cows full of hormones and so forth and slaughtering them at such an astronomically high rate that they can afford for the food to just throw it into the dumpster, whatever, you know, let it go bad and we'll just make more and more and more. And right when this is happening is when America is becoming, really the world is becoming very unhealthy when it comes to its nutrition. So, and I was unhealthy, right? Eating that. And I've always known, as I've said in a prior podcast, that I'm carbohydrate sensitive. But yet carbs don't satisfy me. I can't do what my dad has done, which is still eat carbs and stay thin because I don't crave them. No, if I'm going to eat carbs, I'm going to crave carbs. Yet when I eat carbs, I blow up like a balloon because my body shows what's going on inside. You know, there are a lot of diabetics and a lot of people that are very unhealthy. They have fatty livers that are thin, and they don't realize that because they're eating the traditional diet in America of carbs and low fats, their arteries are becoming inflamed and they're getting heart disease and they're getting calcium. Their arteries are becoming calcified and they're getting fatty liver. They're getting fat around their pancreas and their liver. Because all that extra carb that they're not burning is being converted into fat and it's being stored inside their body. They just have a metabolism that doesn't show it on the outside. So in a way, I was lucky. By being born carb sensitive and by blimping up by carbohydrates, my body was telling me, look, you need to stop this. This isn't good for you. I know, by the way, yeah, you too have a fatty liver and you too are pre-diabetic and you too are insulin resistant. You're developing metabolic syndrome, and yeah, so it's going to kill you if you don't stop. But at least, look, we're showing you by blimping you up like a whale, you know. Feel sorry for the guy or woman who doesn't know it because they seem all right, but they feel dragged down. They don't feel good, but they think they're eating right because they're following this diet that we've been told is okay. So anyway, after doing all of this research, what I decided was there's three things I liked about the keto diet. Number one, it targeted fat as its primary fuel source. And when you're real fat and you want to lose weight, that makes logical sense. Number two, it included foods that I knew I liked. When you tell me I can eat butter, when you tell me I can eat eggs and cheese, I'm happy. When you tell me I can eat steak, I'm happy. When you tell me I can eat bacon, I'm happy, you know? And I read enough and studied enough that I believe it. And I don't believe I'm harming myself or giving myself cancer or giving myself heart disease to eat these things. So I felt comfortable taking that leap of faith in saying I can eat these fatty foods that I've been told are wrong. They're not. And then, okay, I have to give up carbs. But what I thought was, you know, one thing I didn't like about my Weight Watchers diet that I never could stick to, I was doing it low carb because I knew that helped me. I knew I needed to cut the carbs, but I was also doing it low fat. And you know the two food types that have all the calories, therefore all the sustenance, and can satiate you, although carbs didn't satiate me, are the carbs and the fats. Fats are high in calories, and carbs are high in calories. And they're the two energy sources. Your body either burns ketones when it's using fat as a primary source, or it burns the carbohydrates, the sugar. So at the end of the day, when you're on a diet where you're not giving yourself either carbohydrates or fat, you're going to just be hungry. And you'll lose weight, but you'll not ever be satisfied. And you can't live that way. So basically, it's a pick your poison. You're either going to eat a nice, healthy amount of carbohydrates and get diabetes and heart disease and blow up, or you're going to realize the science is proving that it's the carbohydrates and the sugars that are the devil, that are the killers. Plus, Raymond, speaking to myself, you're sensitive to those and you gain weight on those. So it's a no-brainer. You cut those out and you focus on the fats and then you're healthy and then you lose weight. So the third thing, though, number one was that it focused on fat. Number two, it included all kinds of foods I liked. And number three, and I didn't learn this one. I believed it, but I didn't know it was true or not until I started the diet. I'm satiated. It's a diet that makes me feel, that makes me not feel hungry, that makes me not feel deprived. Now, that's linked into number two. If you're eating foods you like on it, fatty foods, if you're able to indulge in fats and you like fats, then three, you won't feel deprived. But also, fats are satiating. And unlike carbs, which really aren't, carbs are satiating initially. They give you a serotonin boost. They give you a rush and a high. Absolutely, just like drugs, they do. They trigger the same reaction inside your body that crack cocaine does. That's scientifically shown. Carbs release the same neurotransmitters and give the same boost to those. So you literally get a rush. Now, you don't feel the same level, not the same degree, so you don't actually get high. But that's why you want it again and want it again. And yet they don't make you feel like, I'm not hungry. I feel fine. And that's a mental thing, and that's a body thing. They can't give you a drug to make you not feel hungry. That's something that happens inside your body that you really can't control. The only way to control it is by what you put in your body. The types of things you eat determine whether or not your body craves more or less eating. And what I discovered, and again, this was the third thing, and I didn't learn it till I did the diet, was when I allow myself to have greasy foods, healthy grease, though, that's very important. The grease, what type of fat is key? If it's animal fat from healthy animals, organically raised, so forth, grass-fed, beef, etc., that's good fat. A bacon fat is good fat. Any fat, of course, in fish is good fat, fish oil. Butter, if it's organic, is good fat. Coconut oil, even though it's saturated, is good fat. It's fat burning, actually, fat. The MCT oil in coconut oil burns fat. So if you're taking in olive oil, of course, a polysaturated fat is a good fat. But when you realize that greasy, fatty, oily is good, and that cheese is good, and that eggs and the egg yolk is great for you and good, and when you realize this and you indulge yourself in it, Not only is it yummy if you like it. Now, some people don't like it. If you don't like cheese, you might find the keto diet harder. If you're not a big butter fan, you might find a keto diet harder. But when you find out, like, for example, lobster tail and butter, anyone else out there love that like I do? I mean, I've always seen that as a luxury. Well, that's a great keto dinner. It's great on your diet. Dip that in the butter, pour the saturated, but eat a shitload of butter with that lobster tail. Now, you got to get your vegetables in too. But you can lose weight eating these foods. And when you know that, you can make an Alfredo sauce, a delicious Alfredo sauce with cheddar. Get organic cheddar and mozzarella cheese and butter and whole cream, organic whole cream. And you make a delicious sauce. You put some chicken and asparagus in there, a little paprika. Oh my God, it's fantastic. It's extremely decadent and you lose weight eating it. Because when you turn your body into a fat burning machine, and then you still don't overeat that day, so that you're not giving your body too many fats to use as fuel. You're still giving it a limited amount, and then it's going to burn the reserves because it needs more of it. It needs more to survive that day. You won't be hungry while it's turning to your gut fat. You'll be satiated on the delicious and heavy fats you ate in your meal. But your body will be needing more and will be going right for the gut first. And so it's satiating. And then guess what? This is the fourth element that you don't find out until you're on this diet. You don't feel like you're dieting. That's the joy of the ketogenic diet. That's the number one point I wanted to make. I wanted to do this podcast just to say, you know why everybody should be on the keto diet? First of all, it's the new science that's real, that's proven, and it makes sense and it works. But secondly, it's the only way you can really lose weight and feel like you could live that way. You can lose weight, get thinner, be healthy, build up muscle tissue, build up your brain, feel sharper, smarter, healthier, thinner, and say, boy, am I on a diet? I think I could live this way 24/7 forever for the rest of my life. And I've never felt that before. Every other diet, I'm counting the days, counting the months. I had to, right here with you, making this podcast, count the weeks. And you know what the math shows? 19 weeks, 52 pounds. The math shows that I've lost 2.74 pounds a week. I've never lost 2.74 pounds a week for all those weeks. Normally, I'll lose something like that at the start of a diet for about 5 or 6 weeks. And then it goes down to about 2 pounds a week. And then after about 6 months, it's hard. Sometimes you don't lose anything. Then you start reaching a wall. So I'm not at that level yet. I'm only just over 4 months. I don't know if this ketogenic diet will hit a wall too. It may, and I'll have to figure out how to deal with that when I do. But I'll tell you this, I have never gone 19 weeks averaging more than 2 pounds a week. This is a very successful weight loss technique. Also, I want to make this point about this ketogenic diet. It's very important. You have to do it, in my opinion, you have to do it with intermittent fasting. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, well, then it's not any good, because if intermittent fasting means you basically only eat in a certain window every day. Most people, if they do it, or a lot of people do it, 16-8. The fasting is 16 hours. Like, they stop at night. Let's say they don't eat past 7 at night, right? Then they don't eat again. 12 hours is 7 in the morning, and then they do 4 more. So they don't eat again till 11. So they don't have a breakfast first thing in the morning. They're not hungry. They wait. Or maybe they even wait and they go 18 hours and they eat at 1. They eat lunch, you know. And they eat during that window then, the next 8 hours, between 1 and 7, or 8 hours would be 11 and 7. Or maybe they cut it to 6 and they eat between 1 and 7. And they can eat at any time during that period, but they only eat during that period. What I've been doing that's been so successful for me, now I didn't start this until about a month into it. Because I thought I'm just switching over and that's more important and I need breakfast in the morning to switch over. I need my eggs and bacon or whatever I was eating. I think I was scrambling up some eggs actually with some mushrooms. But just, you know, to sustain me when I woke up, I need to have my eggs, you know. But after about a month, I did the intermittent fasting and I jumped right into what they call the warrior diet, which is 20 and 4. I create a 4-hour eating window. I don't eat past 8 at night ever, and I don't start eating till 4. Now, what I do is I allow myself a 1-hour cheat window. From if I'm hungry at 3, I'll have a salad early at 3. But normally I try to hold out till 4. It really doesn't matter because I never eat past 7. I have my dinner around 5 or 6, and I don't really eat after dinner. I have a little block of dark chocolate, rather, 92% cocoa chocolate, very little carbs in it, very little sugar. And I just have one little block, and that's pretty much all I ever have after dinner. And I'm usually done with my dinner at the latest by 6, and I usually have the chocolate right after. So I'm safe to say I really don't eat past 7 at night most nights. Most nights I don't touch anything. So if I eat by 3 the next day, it's really the same 24 things. See, 20 and 4. 20 hours of fasting, 4 hours of eating. It's the same thing. But I still try to hold out till 4 if I can. And some days I've held out 24 hours. I've had a couple days where I just eat dinner at 5 the one day and then I don't eat anything until 5 the next day or something like that. The reason intermittent fasting is good, though, and it can be done. Here's the other thing. It can be done with keto because keto is sustaining, because it's satiating, because the fats are satiating. So you can actually do this on a daily, regular basis and still not feel deprived because the dinner is so good. It's not just that what it does internally, too. It's that you're looking forward to it. You're making a ground meat and cabbage thing with sour cream and chives on top. It's good. You're making a Alfredo chicken. It's good. You're making, an omelet with cheese and vegetables and ham and maybe some bacon on the side. It's good. You're making egg salad. You're making, maybe you're making salmon I like salmon, and you're making it with a vegetable you like, you're making a tuna steak with avocado, or you're making, you're making a dinner you like and it's yummy and satisfying. And so it's okay if you don't eat all day except for dinner, because the dinner is something you look forward to. It's not, I'm starving and then I'm going to have a salad with, sliced chicken on top. And, I mean, it's not this thing is like, wait a minute, even when I'm eating, I'm famished and I'm hungry after I'm eating. No. It hits the spot. You feel full. You feel satisfied, and then you go the next day and you eat, 20 hours later, and you feel fine. So intermittent fasting is possible on the keto diet, but also it's great because of what the science shows what happens when you're fasting. I've said this for years. Well, this has actually been known for years. The same thing. What is it? I forget the name of it. The same element that's in red wine, especially French Cabernet. You need it in usually high quantities. If they could, they do make pills out of it for the very rich people that then they buy them. It's an anti-aging element. That same element is released naturally in your body when you starve, but not when you are starvation starve, but when you are fasting starve. There's a difference. Starvation is when your body literally starts to eat its own organs to survive. Fasting is when it goes after the fat and it releases the human growth hormone, HGH. Whenever you are fasting, whenever your body runs out of fuel and it's eating only fat and on your body and that's all there is, and the magic starts happening at the 12-hour mark. So if you, like I stop eating by 8 at night or 7 at night, by 7 the next morning, my body's going to work on itself in very good ways. And it's a process also called autophagy, which is, it's literally cleaning out old cells and replacing them with new. It's rebuilding your body from scratch. So this is how you can live longer, see? Because our body is made up of cells, right? And these cells, generally, if they just stay there forever, they're going to get old and worn and eventually defective. Eventually, maybe a cancerous one will form, an abnormal one, and then that'll start to take over. Or even if that doesn't happen, they just get weaker and older and worn out. And when you replace them with newer ones, rebuilt from the fresh, good, healthy, wholesome foods you're eating, you are basically, from the ground up, rebuilding your body. And that's what happens during autophagy. And another wonderful thing that happens when you're on the keto diet, and especially during a period of intermittent fasting, is it rebuilds your brain. And what you have to understand is your brain is made of fat. And cholesterol is a huge portion of what is inside our body. So all this talk about how cholesterol is clogging our arteries and it's evil, that's not true. What's happening is Cholesterol is being sent to our heart arteries to repair areas, and it's getting clogged in there because the arteries are inflamed. And they're inflamed because of too much sugar and carbs. The devil is inflammation. The problem that's killing us is insulin resistance from too much carb and sugar intake, which spikes insulin. When you eat fat, it's very insulin neutral, very little spike in your insulin. When you eat protein, it's a little more of a spike, but less than carbs. Nothing spikes sugar in the bloodstream and insulin level, hormone insulin, like carbohydrate. So when you reduce the carbohydrate, and even when you eat, you don't have carbs, you're keeping that insulin level real low, and you're allowing the ketones to flow and burn and be used as a fuel burner. And also, when you then fast, you're allowing, with all those healthy cholesterol that you take in and put into your body, your brain to be rebuilt, your brain cells and cholesterol to be sent to your brain and reformulated. And actually, if you can do extended fasting here and there, up to 36 hours, you can, in 3 years, rebuild your whole brain. In 3 years' time, your brain actually, little by little, is being reformulated. And in 3 years, it's a whole new brain. And so the more you kick that process in with a human growth hormone and the flow of ketones while you're not eating and spiking insulin, the more healthfully you can build your brain. However, you know, you need nutrients, right? You can't become deficient in the things we eat. We have essential elements that we can't get anywhere else other than by eating them, and we have to take them in, and we have to feed our body the cholesterol it needs to rebuild itself. We have to feed our body the minerals and phytonutrients, et cetera. And so that is why you have to watch what you take and eat right foods and eat healthy foods, healthful foods. And that's why vegetables are still important on this diet. Although some people are on the carnivore diet now and they believe they can get all their nutrients when they eat the fat and gristle and liver and, you know, organ meats and things from animals. They just go totally animal eating and they're getting healthy and building up their bodies good, and they swear by it scientifically. But I'm happy just sticking to a regular keto diet with intermittent fasting. But the other thing I'll say about it is it's a diet that you can stay on because you like what you're eating. It's a fasting method you can stay on because the fats are satiating, and it's effective for weight loss. But it's not without side effects. Now, everybody talks about, you know, the keto flu, that the process of switching to your body from a carb-burning to fat-burning engine, that you're going to feel run down and all that. And all that's true. And I did feel that, and I did get through that, and I don't have any of that anymore. But I have had other symptoms. I've had dry eyes and blotchy eyes. I've had some headaches. I've had some diarrhea that, depending on what I eat, my stomach's much more sensitive to foods than it ever was. I've had some neuropathy, some tingling in my toes that I never had before. That's gone away, thankfully. So I think I've had some muscle cramping and muscle pulls that you have to be careful with. I think you have to make sure you're having enough electrolytes and stretch yourself and keep yourself active to some degree standing. You don't want to get too, because while this is building your muscle tissue, it's also depleting. When you're losing weight, it's a counterbalance, right? This is a diet that does build up muscle. I feel that my shoulders and chest area and everything is really being built up. I can feel the muscle tissue being worked on and saved through this diet. And I can feel it attacking my gut and fat areas tremendously. But it also, because I'm losing weight, you're naturally depleting yourself somewhat of muscle tissue. So anytime you're dieting, you have to be careful about your muscles and cramping and things like that. So I've had a number of symptoms on this diet. And I'm like, I will say this is a great diet. I love this diet. I recommend this diet. But if you were like me and really locked in a very comfortable way to a high-carb diet, and the only issues were, of course, your blood pressure was skyrocketing through the roof. You were pre-diabetic, getting some blurred vision, having some stomach problems. Problems were building up, but otherwise your digestive system was fine. And I wasn't getting any neuropathy. My eyes were fine, except for they were getting blurry, but I mean, they weren't dry. When you do this diet, it shakes up your entire system. If your system has been locked into a carb-heavy thing, it's not just switching over to ketosis. That's what all they talk about. All you're going to see if you look anywhere is it's you know, the keto flu. Yeah, that's real, but 4 months into it, I'm still experiencing symptoms because my body just hasn't lived this way. Neither is yours probably, where you just aren't eating any carbs. 20 grams of carbs or less a day. That's like no carbs, especially when they're all coming from vegetables. You know, those carbs are coming from vegetables and maybe 2 or 3 in my day from a piece of dark chocolate. You know, the days I have that. Otherwise, it's coming from vegetables. Maybe a little sugar in my salad dressing. I use this one dressing, has a little honey in it. So, but think about that. Your body, which is living on carbs, suddenly doesn't get them. It's bound to cause digestive changes, right? And other issues, just that your body has to adjust. So I'm telling you, I feel much clearer in the head. And most of the time I feel great. But other times I say, damn it, yet another ailment because of this damn diet. And then it goes away. But I am sticking with it because I know it's doing so much good for me. And these things are all temporary little bumps in the road. Like I'll get a bursted blood vessel in my eye, you know, and then that was months ago. And now that's completely gone. And now my eyes really aren't even dry anymore. Or I start getting diarrhea a lot and I think, uh-oh, what's wrong? Did I develop a problem with my stomach? Do I have irritable bowel syndrome now? Do I have SIBO? Do I have some issue because I've been eating this way? I don't get, and then that'll go away. Or I get some neuropathy and I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? I take some B1, it goes away. So, you know, all I can say is I think it's, if you're changing your diet and going to stay on, your body's going to keep playing games with you saying, are you sure? Are you sure you want to, you sure you don't want to have that loaf of bread over there? Are you sure you don't want to have some pasta? Come on now, you sure? And the way your body says that and tempts you and is evil is by having these little issues here and there. That's the way I'm looking at it. I know some medical science would say, no, that's this and that's that. And they point to all these reasons. I'm looking at it like it's Satan on my shoulders trying to tempt me to stop doing this thing that's good for me. Because every time I see it through, like I cramped my neck real bad 3 days ago and I was cursing the keto diet. I'm like, no other diet have I ever, if I turn my head too fast, suddenly I get a kink in my neck. And maybe it's just me getting old, but I mean, it's fun to blame this diet, you know, because I'm eating so differently. I'm like, I think it's making my muscles too tense or something, you know, but then it went away. It's gone. I'm fine. So I'm like, see, I was like, fuck this keto diet. It's fucking, you know, it's too weird, you know. And then it goes away and I'm back to feeling great again. I'm like, no, look, I'm under 300 for the first time in 5 years. I feel good. My mind's clear as ever. No, it's not. This diet's good. It's just there's going to be issues because your body is rebelling here and there. It's rebelling against this healthy turn of events. Your body got so sucked into being unhealthy that it's just little elements that are going to fight it still. So that's the way I'm looking at it. I wanted to tell you that in case you do decide to take on the keto. If you start to notice these things, even when you're well into it, don't give up. Don't give up. Or even if you don't lose weight, for a long time, I wasn't seeing the weight loss at the beginning. I was at that place where the three dots where I couldn't even see my weight. And it was a month into it. And I thought, really? Really? And then it was a month and a half into it. I'm like, really? I still can't see my weight? I'm still more than 330? I mean, it's been 2 months and I'm not down to 330 yet. And then once I started seeing it, it's been more than 2 pound weight loss every week, but one week I lost 1 pound. Every other week it's been 3.5 pounds, 4 pounds, 2.5 pounds, 2.2 pounds every week. So ever since I could see my weight. So, and like I said, feeling good, not feeling unhealthy, not feeling bad. So stick with it. If you get the side effects, know that I've had them. That I'm not going to just blow smoke up your butt like it's all wonderful and cherries. No, I think that when you change your eating habits drastically, you're going to get some other changes here and there, especially the diarrhea and the cramping stomach things. I think that's probably much more common for people than people talk about. I think whereas when I was just eating regular, I had no problems with my, you know, I was very regular in my bowel movements. But this diet, It's sometimes I get constipated. Sometimes I have diarrhea for a couple of days. Something, you know, it's I really have never gotten locked into a really comfortable, healthy place with my bowels on this diet. But it hasn't been a problem, honestly, except for last week, which I had a bad week. It hasn't been something I'd say, no, this is not cool. You can't be on this diet. It's screwing with your bowels too much. No, it's mostly good. Mostly good now. Constipation at first when I started the diet, then I got good, and I've had some intermittent diarrhea. Last week was bad, but I think I might have just eaten something. I don't know. Look, I'm happy with this diet. You're not stopping me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I would recommend it heartily to everybody out there, even if you're healthy. I mean, if you're doing fine in your carbs and you don't have high blood pressure and there's no signs of any heart disease of any kind, then maybe your body just is handling the carbs good. But for the most part, the human body wasn't meant to have all those carbs. And I think going keto, like real extreme low carbs, is sometimes good for us. Now, it could be that my body is one that can handle a little more carbs. And it could be that I could continue to burn fat and be healthy if I have more carbs. And it could be that my body needs more carbs. And that's why I'm having these little issues. Could be my body saying, no, you need some more carbs. You're okay with more carbs. I don't know. We'll find out. I'm just going to keep at this, keep it under 20 grams for as long as I can here, keep with the intermittent fasting. And, so far so good. No, nothing that's made me worried. I mean, I get worried a day here and there, like I said, like about a muscle cramp or about some diarrhea, and then it goes away. So, for the most part, I feel great. For the most part, I feel locked in. But I'm telling you, I'm just going to say this again. It's a roller coaster ride. It's a diet, man. I mean, it's a change. It's a shakeup. It's going to shake up your body for the better. And overall, you're going to say, yes, I swear by it. But don't expect it to just feel like you're just young and 20 again all the time, like they say. Some people go, I feel younger than ever and healthier than ever. I'm like, yeah, well, if you're losing a lot of weight and you're still overweight, I guarantee you they're still running to the toilet occasionally. They're still, and when they run there, they get a leg cramp and they're still waking up and their eyes are all sore and they have a headache in the middle of the night. They're still having issues because shit's going on in their body and it's a major change and that's going to cause some issues. Okay. I think I got my point across there that I'm not all about, you know, happy horse shit. I'm trying to be honest about this. I love you guys. Bye. Yabba da boopa.